Well, hey there, Driven Woman Entrepreneur. You know, I haven't shared a client success story episode with you for a while, but this one is very special to me. The reason is this. So many of the women that I work with are creative visionaries. They have so many brilliant ideas. They either don't end up doing any of them because they don't know which one to pick, or they try to do them all and spread themselves way too thin. When Jan Dyer first hired me, she had already worked with two previous coaches, enrolled in several group coaching programs, and bought all the big name courses that you and I have sitting on our computers and gathering virtual dust. The missing ingredient was that she needed someone who could bring a fresh perspective to her business and to her struggles without trying to get her to conform to any norm or fit into any preordained business model. In just 12 weeks, we were able to take her from struggling and spinning her wheels to well on her way to creating the beautiful visionary business that includes service, education, and products that she has been dreaming of for years. I am incredibly proud of Jan Dyer and the work that she did during our coaching engagement, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be able to share it with you now. I know this is going to resonate because so many of the women I work with have exactly the same struggles. I hope that her story will be an inspiration to you to see what's truly possible when you're ready, willing, and able to get past everything that's holding you back, when you're able to let go of the trauma of having invested in the wrong people and the wrong solutions, or simply at the wrong time, and give your business one really good focused try with someone you respect and trust. So without any further delay, I bring you a client success story with my client and now friend, Jensina Dyer. Enjoy. So I am very excited to be joined today by my client and friend, Jensina Dyer, who is the founder, owner, and president of the Colorado Lash Company. We are here today to reconnect after a couple of months, finishing our coaching agreement, and talking about all the amazing things that we did together and how much her business has changed as a result. So this is actually our second attempt at recording. The first one, we had some kind of weirdness happen and it only recorded my side of the conversation. So you would have missed out on all the juicy goodness you're about to hear. So welcome back and thank you for doing this again a second time.
Thanks, Diane. I'm really glad to be here.
So let's go back to the beginning. We first met, Jan, several years ago at a conference and kind of connected then in person and stayed connected via social media. But I really had no idea that I would work with you at some point in the future. So let's talk about your business, the early years, how it got to the point where you realized, I actually have a bigger vision for this and I think I need some help to execute it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Diane. Yeah, when I started my business, and my background is in ophthalmology, I worked in ophthalmic surgery, and I always wanted something more. I always felt like I was a square peg in a round hole. I knew that something I just didn't fit in, even though I excelled and I became president of my professional association. I became an adjunct instructor at a college. I did all the things in my profession, but I still felt really unsatisfied. So I had always had an interest in aesthetics, and I thought I would do it part-time. And so I went into aesthetics, and I was introduced to eyelashes and eyebrows and all the things eye related. And I said, oh, this is my jam. So I started out my business part-time. Like, it was a side hustle before side hustles were called side hustles. I just did nighttime on the side. And pretty soon I was getting busier and busier and busier. And I knew, let me back up a little bit. I knew when I took my training was really expensive. I think it was like $2,200 for a one-day training where I actually had 4 hours of actual training. The rest was about how great the company was and all things. And it was and what they could do for me and all the things. But what really intrigued me was that within 2 or 3 months of taking my first course specifically for lashes was that out of the 5 people that were in my class, that I was the only one left in doing this because it was harder than everybody imagined and it was extremely expensive. So at that point, I just couldn't believe. Wait, hold on a second.
By the end of the training, the 1 day training, or are you talking about from then till now, you're the only one who's still doing it?
Within three months of my training, I was the only one still in the field. They had called me, hey, do you want to buy my kit? Do you want to buy all my supplies? And so.
And you were doing this in addition to a full-time job.
Yes. Yeah. I just started out like 1 night a week, 2 nights a week, Saturdays, 3 nights a week. And then my sons, I have 3 sons, and my last 2 moved out at the same. One went to college and one got an apartment the very same weekend. And within about a month, my husband's like, do you always work this much? Like, yes, I do.
You hadn't noticed?
He got lonely and he said, you know, you are making way more money doing this side hustle than you are working an 8-hour, 40-hour a week job. Like, and I would like to spend some time with you now that the boys are gone. And, you know, so I made the decision at the time to leave my job in ophthalmology, which was hard because, you know, you give up the benefits and the 401k and the paid holidays and all the things. But I did. I just jumped in. I remember my first office I rented. My rent was $100 a month.
And those were the good old days. We just didn't know it.
It was in 2009. I built my business 2007, 8, and 9. So I've been doing this a really long time now, but I built it during one of the worst financial crises in the whole world, right? And that's because in the beauty business, there's never really a recession in the beauty business. So
there's never a wrong time to look beautiful. Nope, you may not have food on the table, but your lashes can be on point. It's true.
Yeah, you know, it's true because in 2020, when everyone was doing Zoom, 2020 was my busiest year ever. Oh. I'm like as a solo at the time, because I had met you, but I was only listening to your podcast and things. I had not had employees like I do now. And we'll get to that in a minute, but I had the busiest year I've ever had as a solopreneur in 2020.
Can I just hit the pause button for a second? Because this is such valuable information. You start off by saying that you were a misfit. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think misfits are my people in every sense of the word, especially the ones who believe that they should be fully satisfied because they are excelling in their chosen path. Like this was always me. I chose a path. I had to excel, not because it was going to get me fame or fortune or make more money, because that's how I'm wired, because I want to go all in. I want to master whatever it is I'm learning. And it very much fulfills me to do my best. And when everyone else around you feels like, why are you working so hard? Why is it so important to you to do A++ quality work? You're getting paid the same as the rest of us who have all kinds of free time on our hands. And yet still it wasn't enough. And you decided, I'm going to have a creative side hustle that's related, but it's more work. And that makes you a misfit. See, I think that makes you gifted. And I think that makes you someone who falls in love with something you do. And you also fall in love with the possibility of it being more than all of your peers imagine. But I just want to reflect how hard it is to be surrounded by people who think you're a weirdo and a freak, because you will do so much more and not even necessarily be rewarded for it just because that's who you are. And I think that is why you became an entrepreneur, because as we know, it's not easy, fast, and fun. It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. It takes willingness to fail. And you already had those traits built in.
Yeah. And I failed a lot of times. You know, to fast forward, I started to grow. When I said all these people quit at the beginning, I wanted to create a program where it was really easy for, you know, listen, don't spend, you know, $2,500 for a 1-day program. Come and take my $600 program and see if you like it. before you spend all this money. And if you like it, then spend money on a national certification or whatever later on. But what I did, because, and let me go back to the ophthalmology thing, because ophthalmologists are very type A, very driven, very, and I can remember one time when I said I was leaving, he said, you know, you'll always be the assistant. You'll never be anything more than an assistant. And
it's like best supporting actress.
Right. And it was in my brain for a long time. So I would, I would dip my toe in to the like growing. And I'm like, no, I'm just a technician. Stick my foot in. Like, I'm going to create this really amazing training program for young women who maybe they didn't fit in. Maybe they couldn't afford to go to college. All the reasons that you and I have discussed. And then I would, oh, who am I to do that? Remember, it, you know, it's amazing how you can let other people get into your brain who seem to be in a much higher, I don't know, authority bracket, tax bracket, educational bracket, because I never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would be, you know, in eyelashes. My goodness, like what in the heck? Like, you just don't grow up and say, oh, I'm going to be an eyelash person.
But
it's the entrepreneur. Like, whoever thought?
It's the person who excels even when they're not being incentivized or rewarded. See, it's so fascinating because you're in a totally different place than you were then.
Yes.
And when you got that feedback, you're just the assistant. The Jancina 1.0, the younger version of you who had not owned her identity as an entrepreneur, heard you're just the assistant and thought, oh, yeah. Like, simmer down, shrink back, you know, conform to your role. Like, you don't need to excel. You don't need to come up with all these ideas. You don't need to envision possibilities. You're just the assistant. I'm going to guess that plug the current you back into that scenario with everything you've learned and hear that. I bet you would think something like, you know, you're absolutely right. Why should I be busting my behind to build your empire and bank account? Since I'm just the assistant, I'm going to take all this talent, all this ambition, all this drive, and start my own damn thing, which you eventually did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it just excel. I just took the next logical step. It's just amazing. And you hear this and you read this and you look, when you're in it, you don't see it. But I've always felt like the next step was put in front of me. The next step was put in front of me. And I've had so many opportunities and so many pathways for growth and a lot of failures. I had a business partner and I completely failed at being a great business partner. And I didn't know why I failed. I blamed her. Then I blamed me getting accountable. I blamed just a lot of different things. And then when I came to you, we talked about, and you do this really great onboarding where you find out what makes me tick, what makes your clients tick. And I know we talked about this in our last one that didn't record, but about my personality type and how I am a creator, how I just have all of these ideas. I'm an idea generator. I can generate ideas for anybody. Could come to me and I say, I could interview them for 5 minutes and tell them what they should do for their business.
Same.
But I wasn't ever the implementer. I was really poor at implementation and I couldn't figure out why these people were excelling around me. And I wasn't able to get over this hump. And then I had all these ideas, but I couldn't implement them. And when
Which is why you went into business with a partner, as I understood, because you knew that you were the visionary. You knew that you would just keep hatching idea babies one after the other. And your partner was an implementer. And I believe that you thought you needed to partner with her or someone like her in order to be successful as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. She saw my vision. We had talked about, she was my client first. And then we had talked about a few things and she's like, we could do this and we could do this better. We went to a joint training and she goes, you already have this business. You already have the contacts. You already have the manufacturers. Let's take this to another level. And we did. I mean, we were able to create a really lucrative, successful business in a really short period of time. But it was also one of those dreams you hear a lot about a lot of women. and some men that create a business that they think they want, and it turns out to be not the business that they want. And they're more miserable in this very successful business than they were before, when they were not making as much money, didn't have as much responsibility, weren't as successful.
And it ruins the relationship too.
Yeah. I mean, I left saying the reason I'm getting out of this is to say we had become friends. We were not friends before. We were acquaintances, but we had become friends. And I wanted to, that friendship was more important to me than the business and the money. And so at least that's what I said at the time. And I walked away. And, you know, there's it's a 50-50 thing. Part of me regrets it. Part of me looks back now that I've grown emotionally, in business-wise, entrepreneurially, I regret that. And some of it's like, well, that was probably the best, still the best thing that happened, was that I left. The only thing I lost was time.
Well, it's either going to be, I mean, the only commodities we really have to trade on are time and money. And I would actually say there's a third. No, there's more than that. There's time, there's money, there's energy, and there's the opportunity cost that when you're focusing on this partnership, this business, you are not able to also focus on the other things, because you couldn't have a side hustle for that.
Right.
I'm just curious to know, Jen, if you now think more of yourself as an implementer than you thought of yourself when you were in that business, because you are the star of the show now. You're the boss. You're the big cheese. You're the head honcho. You do not have a partnership. It's all you. And you still have this great, big, beautiful vision that we're going to unpack that you had before. So what would you say to that?
Yeah, I always knew, right? You have this little in the back of your head that I can, but then I can't. Like I said, you dip your toe in, you take it out, and then, you know, you need to go all in. Once I went all in and I found you, and the teacher always appears at the right time, right?
I believe that's true.
And that's what happened with me and you. And it was like dominoes that fell. We started talking, you sent me worksheets. I started doing the worksheets and I could see, and then our conversations, I could see that this was the missing link for me, was the implementation. And that all I had to do was take that next logical step every single day in every single situation. And I could also be the implementer as well. And I started looking around at other women entrepreneurs, other men entrepreneurs, and looking at them and seeing that it's this marriage that they have of the implementer and the visionary, whether they have business partners or they are just that really awesome person who's able to do both, implement and have the vision of what they want and go forward. And once I knew that, it was like things just cascaded. Things, I hired, what, in 3 months, I hired 3 people in my business, and I was a solopreneur. I had, with another coach, had told me, like, listen, you need to hire some people and leverage your business. You can't build a business and be in the business at the same time. I'm like, no, I don't want to give up my clients. No, I love them. This is my baby. And all the things that we think about our business. And once I heard it from you, and you said it in a very different way, and I apologize, I don't remember how you said it, but the way that you brought it to my attention about it's okay to let it go, it's okay, like you have to let some things go in order to get to the next level. And you hear it so often, but sometimes you just have to hear it from the right person in the right way at the right time. And
I absolutely believe that's true, because I think we should share, because it puts everything in context. Your idea was, and I think we should also talk about the mindset block, because you did have this idea that you outgrew the limiting belief that I'm just the technician when you left your ophthalmic job. And by the way, leaving any professional level job that has required training, oversight, like you had a license to do that. You were in a high status position working with high status people. There was a lot riding on those outcomes, like you needed to do impeccably good work. And ophthalmology is a very prestigious field. So it was no small thing for you to walk away from that to do eyelashes. And I remember when I left my successful practice as a psychotherapist to become a coach, even my own husband was like, what the heck are you doing? Because the identity transformation was one in the beginning, that it was like a loss of status. Right. Now I'm going to be a lash tech. I was an ophthalmic tech. Now I'm a lash tech. I was a psychotherapist. Now I'm a coach. And I think a lot of people underestimate the importance of the identity transformation. And maybe when you got feedback from another coach, you were at a different place in that identity transformation. I think I'm remembering a couple of things I said to you is that your entrepreneurial vision will not be realized if you are maintained exclusively in the service role. So,
yes.
And then the other thing was that we're going to use the service business to subsidize the growth of the other aspects of the business. And you cannot generate enough revenue if you're the only service provider. So let's sort of unwrap like the big vision that you came to me with. And I think the first thing we did was address the fact that you needed a specific strategy, kind of like a roadmap. This is where you are, and this is where you want to go. And we're going to do this in three stages. So it was high level strategy. And then you could start implementing. If you have nothing but ideas, you can't implement shit because you just keep getting more ideas. Oh, I could do this. I could do that. I could launch a podcast. I could write a book. I could have a YouTube channel. I could do this. I could sell products. I could, of course, you could do all those things. And maybe you will do all these things. I think you probably will. You are an excellent implementer. And I told you repeatedly during our coaching engagement, one of the things I loved so much about working with you is that you learned and you took action. You learned and you took action. You kept taking action. That's what makes the magic. But you got the strategy in place. Okay, yes. My ideas are valid. My ideas are good. This strategist is telling me this is actually achievable, but we can only focus on it in a strategic way. You can't do all the things at once. But do you remember the specific block you also had about age and your industry that we were able to address while we were building out your plan for world domination in the lash industry? Because I think that's important.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the beauty industry and most of the women doing what I do or what I was doing are in their mid-20s to early 30s. And I am not. I am 58 years old and I just had that big block. I wasn't beautiful enough. I was too old. I didn't fit the type that you see on Instagram. My work doesn't fit what's on Instagram. And yet I had a very successful business, but how can I grow? Because my clients were like me. They liked me. My clients are 40 to 80. They don't want the things that they see on Instagram. They wanted what I had to offer. And would I be able to find a team? And no one's going to, if I want to grow into this, like grow my business for my passion for helping younger women, are they even going to listen to an old lady quote, right?
Yep.
Are they going to listen to someone who is older than most of their mothers? And so that was a really big block for me. Along you take that and then the whirlwind of ideas, hopes, and dreams that I had. And I was just a big mess. I told my husband, I said, it's like when you take a necklace and you take it off and you throw it in your jewelry box and you take it out and somehow it's this big jumbled mess. And you helped me just take each strand and straighten it all out and just so that I could quote, wear that necklace and have it fit perfectly. Because
oh,
now
I love that analogy.
Yeah. I mean, we had a strategy. You said, well, you can do it all. You can do it all, Jan. You just can't do it all this way. And have you ever thought about, and that's where you put those first three pillars. And you said, this business will support and feed and start this business. And then that business will create this third business. And it's this perfect wheel. And once I saw that, once I understood it, it was just like I was off to the races.
I literally think I saw your head kind of explode. It was like, it's like, what's happening here? Is she having a problem with her camera? Because it looks like there's some sort of humming and buzzing going on. But it was like the two things, I think the branding aspect of, because you were so convinced that your vision was not possible because of your age. And because everyone else in the industry is young enough to be your daughter, and you're imagining that they want to buy from women who look like your daughter. And I'm like, yeah, but who are your clients? And they're not buying from them. They're buying from you. And why would they do that? And it was like, it's so important to me to address how women feel when they are at the intersection of ageism and sexism. And even in a female-dominated industry, the beauty industry, we still take all of that conditioning from our culture, from our society, from the media. We take all of that in with us. And even though you were already successful selling to and working with women closer to your age, you were like, yeah, but it's kind of like, it's why I talk so much about upper limit issues, because we have to keep facing a new set of upper limit issues every time we raise the bar for yourself. And it was like, all of a sudden you were like, yeah, who is going to speak to and serve the women who are closer to our age than those 20 somethings? And by the way, need I remind you, I bet all the ones who dropped out within 3 months were those 20 somethings, weren't they? Because it wasn't easy, fast, and fun. And you already had developed a successful career over time that you knew would sustain you, but you didn't go in with the expectation that it would be easy, fast, and fun. Now, it shouldn't have you in tears and face down on your bed on a regular basis, but you are one of those weirdos, misfits, outliers, just like me, that is actually stimulated and excited by the challenge to excel and to fulfill a creative idea. So your pillars were service, education, and product. So let's talk about what happened first and then where we went from there.
Okay. So when I first started working with you, I was still a solopreneur and I hired my first person.
Pretty quick too.
Yeah, really quick. I think you said, okay, like start looking for someone, you know, put your ad out there, start putting your feelers out. And our next call that following week, I'm like, I hired someone.
And then you got to see that head exploding look on my face.
Yeah, so she was like, what? And then she is so good. She's still with me. You know, it's been like six or eight months. And she's, of course, still with me. And she's fantastic. And she was everything I needed. And she got super busy, super fast. And I was still, we were working right alongside each other. I was still working in the business, hired her. And then I hired the next one. And you're like, wow, that was fast. And then like within a week of hiring that one, I think I waited 2 months. And then one of my old trainees that I had trained several years ago, she said, hey, listen, I would like to come work for you whenever you get a, I'm thinking about leaving my position. I'd like to, and I said, I didn't want her to get away. So even though I didn't know what I was going to do with her. I didn't know how I was going to pay her. I didn't know. I just said, we'll figure it out. Like, if you want to come work for me, we'll figure it out. And so I have three really great younger women who are fantastic with my clients. I gave up my clientele in December and I'm getting ready to hire another person now. I opened a second location since our training, our time ended. And I think that's a good thing too. Sometimes people think that when they get into a training situation that they're going to need that person forever and ever and ever. And while I have you as a resource, when I need you, I did that initial 12 weeks. And I can, and I think we've talked about this, I see the next training, the next 3 month cycle coming up because I'm going to need to go to that next level. But right now you have given me the ability to see what I need to do and to implement all those things. And then when I need to go to the next level, you're right there.
I'm glad you brought this up, Jen, because to tell you the truth, I think it is one of the reasons why I stopped being a therapist. And now I help women grow their own businesses because therapy kind of tended to be this long-term thing. And even after the person had met the goals that they came in with, oftentimes they would want to keep going. And I think there's almost like this, I don't know, like a hidden fear that if I stop, everything's going to fall apart. And I started really challenging that even while I was still a therapist saying, you know, it seems to me that we've met your goals and this might be a good time for us to start wrapping up. I don't want people to be dependent on me. Mm-hmm. I want to come alongside people, give them the permission, the mindset shifts, help them transform their identity if it's not already there, the tools, a roadmap, and then let's see how far we go with it. I know that you're going to continue to grow. It's why I schedule these podcast interviews 2 or 3 months after we finish working together, because unlike the people who signed up for the lash training with you and flaked the fuck out within 3 months, I know you're going to keep going. And I also know that you have much bigger plans for the future, and we can work together again to set you up for that phase and then set you free. I like working that way. I don't think it would be satisfying for me or really the confidence you need if mm-hmm. you needed someone every step of the way, because you have continued to grow exponentially since the end of our engagement.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I wanted to. I think I just needed the permission. I think you helped me take my vision and untangle it and get it into a manageable, viewable vision. And like you said, a roadmap. And then once I had the roadmap, I'm like, all right, let me see what I can do with this. Let me see if I can. And I'm saying yes to more things than I have ever said yes to before.
Examples? Like this podcast. Let me give some examples.
Okay. Like the podcast, I was so, you know, I was terrified to even be on this podcast. And I said, yes, why not? Like say yes, because every time I say yes, I will say 75% of the time I say yes, it is a positive result. I was asked to be on the board of the National Association of Lash Artists. And I said, yes. And I'm going to Canada next month and going to meet all these incredibly talented visionaries in my industry to try and make it a better industry. There's no regulation really in my industry. So it's really to help mold the industry and create regulations for the health and safety of our clients and our staff and standards, which is really important to me, especially working in ophthalmology. You just know it's such a, like you said, it's a medical profession. It's very precise. And so I want to take some of my eye knowledge over into the lash industry.
Hold on a second. You know that this is not just a saying yes thing.
I don't know that.
That's why I have to interrupt. Yeah, because you're using it as an example of just saying yes, even though you're scared. Mm-hmm. And we did mm-hmm. talk a mm-hmm. lot about that. Oh, it's okay to be scared. Mm-hmm. In fact, you should be scared, because if you're not scared, mm-hmm. it means you're probably not doing anything important enough to bother doing it. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're not scared at all, you are way too close to your comfort zone, which means you're not growing. So don't congratulate yourself because you're not scared, because that means nothing's happening. But saying yes to that specific thing mm-hmm. is not only a great, I'm sure, a great experience going to Canada, but it begins to position you on the thought leader path. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we talked about, in addition to, you know, you needing to, I don't want to say get over, but transform your thinking about being in the beauty industry at this age, because pretty soon you're mm-hmm. going to be in the beauty industry in your 60s, and you may be in the beauty industry in your 70s if you decide to continue working that long. And why not?
Why retire?
And why retire? But putting yourself on the thought leader path is absolutely mm-hmm. going to fuel your education pillar and your product pillar, because now you are going to be connected with people at a very high level, and they're probably not inviting 20-somethings to be in a position like this. Your mm-hmm. background in ophthalmology makes you uniquely qualified to be a mm-hmm. leader at the level of decision-making and oversight. That's super exciting. That's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, I've always wanted to like make a difference in this industry. And now I will have the opportunity to do that. And I feel like I wouldn't have said yes had I not had been coached by you and had this vision and had a strategy in place, because being a thought leader, being in this industry at that level will do nothing but help my business and help all the people that I want to help. And it's not just the other lash artists, it's your clients, right? In the end, this is all about, we're in the service industry, and it's about having the results that our clients need to have in a safe and sanitary and professional way, not just in a
not just pretty. Well, just because it's the beauty industry doesn't mean it's superficial. Like your vision for the industry and for your business and the way you conduct your personal services, the way you are going to teach and lead and develop products, because of your past professional history, will always put safety first. That sets you so far apart from your peers, like seriously.
Yeah. And you helped me realize that. Like I knew that in my head, but I've never had it like turned back around and mirrored to me. And so I think working with you really allowed me to see my vision through someone else's eyes, my roadmap through someone else's eyes, and how, and once you mirrored it to me and once I could see it all out there, it was just like you said, it was the catalyst that I needed to move forward. And like I said, too, when I get to the next level, which will be coming up probably here in the next 3 to 6 months, I will need that little jump start again, that little, okay, I'm here now. These are my options. And there you will be. And now it's great because we have this relationship now where you know me and you know my tendencies to block myself or to like bail on myself. And you don't, the one thing is like, I love that you just don't bullshit around. Like you're, like you're just like, oh, stop it. Stop it. And I'm like, what? And you're like, oh, this is totally not who you are. And just like, just stop that right now. And so that allowed me to be accountable. You helped me to learn how to be accountable to myself too. And that's invaluable. So
well, I think I'm so grateful. You're such a sweetheart. I loved working with you so much. And I'm so grateful that you're on the podcast to talk about it. Because truthfully, I think most people who have a bigger vision, like they're doing okay where they are. And especially those of us who we can call ourselves the misfits. We're just the outliers. I think we are the people who are driven to excel, not because we want to be bazillionaires, although we do expect to be well compensated, but because we are driven by passion and purpose. We genuinely want to make a difference. And we sometimes underestimate like what a driver that is, especially if you're also very creative and you have lots of ideas. I recorded a podcast episode probably more than a year and a half ago. It's like way back in the archives where I said something like, too many ideas is worse than not enough because, you know, the best idea you've ever had is the one at the top of the stack. Like it's fresh, it's shiny, it's novel, it hasn't been spoiled by any failure or even experience. And then you're going to have another and another and another. I think it absolutely requires someone who's not you and maybe isn't even in your business, because I'm not in the lash business, to be able to listen to the way you process, the way you think, the way you make decisions, where you get yourself stuck, where you hold yourself back. Sometimes it's a practical intervention that is needed where, like you said, I love the analogy of untangling the necklaces, because I'm not in your business. I'm not in your industry. I'm not up in your head, but I can see, oh, this is all tangled up. No wonder she feels like she doesn't know what to do. Pull it apart, lay it out, create a path from it. And then it's perfectly clear. Then the mindset stuff reveals itself. Okay. What are you afraid about? Okay. Let's deal with that. Now, how do you feel? Actually, then you were like, boom, boom, boom. Like, it must have been fun for you to surprise me week after week with the action you had taken. In the meantime, you're like, because I was like, literally, what? You've hired another person? Like, I didn't expect this to happen so fast. But there's so much more. Let's talk a little bit about your future vision, the next two pillars. Because, well, wait a minute. Let me stop myself. Have you finished growing the service pillar to the degree that you want to? Are you going to spend a little more time there before we move on?
You know, I am going to spend a little bit more. I'm kind of now like in the transition. There's a little bit of transition where I'm working on the education piece, but I'm kind of in a holding pattern there because I'm waiting for state accreditations and international accreditations and things like that. Yep. So all of that is just kind of in the holding pattern. I have a new location that's going to be perfect for what I need to do. And I'm learning how to market now, right? Because you do have to. In a service industry, I am so used to having a really nice website, having people, and even maybe not so nice of a website, and having people knocking at my door.
Just now referrals, word of mouth.
Right. Referrals, word of mouth. I mean, I've been in business for a long time. And now taking my mailing list, and I, before before January, at the end of January, I had never done anything with my mailing list. I had never sent out a newsletter. I had never used it for any purpose. So I'm learning how to market newsletters, how to do all those things. And you were helpful on that. You have another great thing besides, you know, the strategy and the coaching is that you have a lot of resources that you share with us when we're in your coaching program. And so I was able to get some strategies and learn how to market there. So, but I am not, because my ladies are all, I have two locations now instead of the one. And remember, when I started, I had one location, one room, and myself. And now I have four technicians and two locations. And
you're welcome. But wait, and there's more.
Yeah. But they're full. They're busy. They're busy. And so now I'm actually, I have interviews later after this conversation. I have two interviews that I'm doing today, and to find that right person. And I really think that I had failed before as a manager. I had failed before hiring. I just didn't want to do it because it was too much work. And that's not true. It's just, I didn't want to grow into being a manager. And I had certain thoughts about being a manager, and I had certain thoughts about hiring people in this industry. And so once I was able to overcome those, it just was, it's just like a cascade. It's just a domino effect. So once I was open to that, so yes, I'm still growing.
You're such a boss. You are such a boss. And it was always there. And you knew it.
And yes, you knew it. I just didn't know how to find it. I just didn't know how to get there. And you helped me get there. And you're helping me still get there. But yeah, so the education piece is on the horizon. Probably start having my academy will be open in July if everything goes good with my inspections and everything. And then once I've done that for a year, these ladies that are my core ladies, the three that I have, they are going to run my school. I'm getting them accredited. I'm getting them like all the things that they need to come up behind me. And then I have a product line that I want to develop to put in, maybe Sephora, so Ulta, something like that.
Oh my God. This is, your 60th birthday
is going
to be such a party because it's just a couple of years away. And the amount of growth that I anticipate in you between now and then is literally going to be, now that's how we start this decade. And there's just way too many women that are attached to this notion that it's too late, they're too old, there are so many women who have just been going along at the level they're at. And instead of reaching their upper 50s or 60s and thinking, I miss my chance. Most of them will think that, just like most of those girls who took the class with you fizzled out almost before they got started. You are just literally getting started. And I cannot be more proud and more excited for what's still to come.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for helping me see that not only was there a possibility, there is a probability. I always believed in the possibility, but you helped me see the probability of it happening. So I'm forever grateful.
Well, I think what we're going to have to do is have you simply come back again.
Okay.
And talk about how you go from a service business to a service education product business. Because I know there are people who probably have a similar vision, and you are a perfect role model to lead them. So just say yes, tell me you'll be back, and then
I will be back.
We'll wrap this for now. And thank you again so much. You've inspired me, quite honestly.
Well, thank you. It goes both ways. And I couldn't have done it without you. So, and we will be coaching again here soon.
Yay. Can't wait.
Yay. All right.
Okay,
I'll
folks,
talk to you soon.
That's a wrap. Bye, Jen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Diane. You know, something I hear all the time from regular listeners to the podcast is, oh my God, Diane, I learned so much from listening. It's really helped me so much in my business and life. I just can't even imagine what it would be like to actually work with you. And you know, I just kept thinking about that. You can't imagine what it would be like to actually work with me. That's a problem I need to solve. So I decided to give you a backstage pass. Here's how it's going to work. I created a private podcast. It's absolutely free of charge, and you can listen to it in the very same place that you're listening to me now, but it's private. So the way you get access to it is you're going to click on the link in the show notes, you'll enter your email address in the form, and it will be sent to you. There are 10 minisodes. Each of them is a backstage pass into an actual coaching conversation that I have with one of my one-on-one coaching clients. Now, you're only going to hear my voice because privacy and confidentiality are important to me, but you're going to hear what the specific challenge or problem my client was facing and the feedback, advice, or mindset shift that I offered them. In the show notes, you're also going to get key points and takeaways because, as you know, if you're simply listening, nothing changes. It's when you apply what you learn that things begin to pop. So I hope you'll sign up for it. I hope you'll binge right through it. And I especially hope you'll let me know what you think. The link is in the show notes. Go grab it.